Gracious Heavenly Father, how thankful we are to be in the house of the living God today. Being able to thank you for all the blessings we know of and those we don't. To be able to tell you that we love you. We are here to praise you. To offer thanksgiving unto you. We are thankful for the word of the living God. We are thankful for the prophecy that comes from it. That lets us know where we are on that road of prophecy. Letting us know that time is coming to an end. The church age, or the age of grace, will not last forever. There is a closing to it. We thank you for the rapture. Jesus Christ coming back for his children. We are thankful to be able to spend an eternity with him. We are thankful for the salvation that he has given us as a grace gift. I am thankful to stand in this place this morning and share the word of the living God with those that are here. May it impact our lives in such a way that we will be stirred as we leave this place to go out and share it with others. We are salt and we are light, and we do not back away from that. Again, thank you for being who you are. Thank you for your wisdom that you share with us. Thank you for the Holy Spirit that you have given us as your children. That will be the direction and guidance and power that we need to walk on that prophetic road. Give us the strength we need today and every day. Give us the peace that passes all human understanding. And may our love grow stronger and stronger each and every day in this body of believers. And help us to face what is coming. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Take your printout, if you will. We'll begin with that. You'll notice the title on the printout is "The First Sign That Jesus Addresses When Talking to the Disciples." When talking about that prophetic road that they are about to get on and travel. We are already on that road, that prophetic road. We are already making our journey. The first sign, spiritual deception. I hope you have something to write with this morning. We're going to take a few notes. Let's begin with the introduction. As we have seen, Jesus told his disciples that there would be signs along a prophetic road that would verify where we are in time as we approach the end of the age. I want you to underline that phrase, the end of the age. It is a reference to the church age, or the age of grace that we are now living in at this moment. I think you're fully aware that the church age, or the age of grace, began on the day of Pentecost and will end at the rapture of the church. That is, believers who have received Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. So as we approach the end of the age, the church age, or the age of grace that will end at the rapture of the church, and his next coming, the next coming of Jesus Christ is the rapture of the church. Now, the rapture of the church, you should know if you attend here regularly, is not the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. The second coming of Christ is at the end of the seven-year tribulation period. So the rapture is not the second coming of Christ, because at the rapture, Jesus Christ will not come all the way down to the earth. But at the end of the seven-year tribulation, which is the second coming of Christ, he will come all the way down to the earth. He will deal with his enemies, and he will begin the thousand-year reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we will be with him during that 1,000-year reign when Satan is going to be locked up for that time. And we are going to rule and reign and teach with the Lord Jesus Christ during that time. The very first sign Jesus spoke to the disciples about contained a clear warning about wide-scale, worldwide deception. Underline the word deception, please. Deception can refer to distraction. We have a lot of distraction in the world today. Also, propaganda. There's a lot of propaganda that is coming out of Washington. There's a lot of propaganda that has come out of China and other nations as well. The world is full of ungodly propaganda as we speak. And then there's something else. It is promoting that which is untrue. Promoting that which is untrue. Next, a range of elaborate deceptions. A range of elaborate deceptions. P.S. Pelosi. I'm so good at that. Then there is cheating. Cheating. And then there is flat out lying that we have heard so much of, especially coming out of Washington, that we are sick of. So the very first sign he spoke to the disciples about contained a clear warning about wide-scale, worldwide deception that would emerge at the very end of this era. Jesus warned the disciples and us of the need to guard against that deception. Let's look at Matthew chapter 24, verse 4, and I want you to listen to what Jesus has to say. We're going to read this, and then we're going to exegete it in the Greek language. Matthew 24, 4, Jesus said, "Take heed that no man, no false prophets, no false teachers, today, no false denomination deceive you." He was talking to the disciples. They were followers of Jesus. They listened to Jesus. They were under his teaching. So he is talking also to you and I today as believers in Jesus Christ. He would say to us at Hainesville Baptist Church, this local assembly of God, "Take heed that no man deceive you as a child of the living God." Of the many end time signs to watch for, he listed deception first and foremost as a primary indicator that the conclusion of the age was upon us. Now, I'm going to go to my notebook, Matthew chapter 24, verse 4, and we're going to exegete this particular scripture. Let's begin with the word Jesus, and I'll begin like this. If Jesus is talking to the disciples, and he's talking to you and I as well, then I think we need to know who Jesus Christ is. So who is speaking? The answer, Jesus Christ. The question, who is Jesus? Here's the answer, the incarnate. Write down incarnate, and what does that mean? Jesus is the God-man. Jesus came and was robed with the flesh of man. So Jesus was real, he was God, he was the God-man, and he walked upon planet Earth robed in the flesh like you and I are. He is the incarnate eternal. Write down that word eternal. If Jesus is eternal, then Jesus is God. If you read the Mormon Bible or Jehovah's Witness, it will tell you that Jesus was a small G-O-D. That is blasphemy. And if you hang on to that and if you believe that, you're not going to make it to heaven. The Bible says that Jesus is God. And the word eternal means that Jesus had no beginning and Jesus has no end. He had no point of origin. So Jesus Christ came robed with the flesh. He came also at the same time eternal Son of God. What's this Son thing? As a Son, he came obedient to the Father. He came to fulfill and carry out what the Father wanted Him to do in reference to our salvation and the revelation of the Father Himself. The incarnate, eternal Son of God, the divine Messiah, the second person of the Holy Trinity, the anointed one. When was Jesus Christ anointed? In eternity past, before anything was created, Jesus was God and Jesus existed by the Holy Trinity. So therefore, this is non-negotiable. Jesus was stamped, approved as Savior of all that would come believing and accepting Jesus Christ as personal Lord and Savior. And being stamped by the Holy Trinity, being non-negotiable, that was never, ever going to change. You must accept Jesus Christ. What did He say in John? I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father except through the Son, Jesus Christ. So you cannot have a relationship with the Father until you have a relationship with the Son, who is Jesus Christ. Amen. Period. And if you don't like it, you'll get over it. Here we go. Look at this word. Jesus is speaking, so we should listen. He is God. Listen even more. Look at the word said. And Jesus said. The word said is lego in the Greek language. And here's what the word said means. It means Jesus is, at this point, in the process of wrapping up this conversation pertaining to the signs you'll see just before Jesus comes. There's another meaning to that word see. See means, or the word said means just what I read. The word see means this. See means carrying what is seen into the non-physical, immaterial world. Everything you see physical has spiritual meaning behind it. So everything you're going to see in this material world, connect it to the spiritual world. Connect it to the Word of the living God. All right? The word see is a Greek present imperative, and it means keep on doing this continuously, progressively as a lifestyle. Everything you see physically, take it into the spiritual world, connect it to the Word of God, and you'll get the accurate meaning that God wants you to have. All right? See to it that no one misleads you. Look at the word misleads. It is a Greek aorist, a Greek aorist. It means never allow yourself to be deceived in any situation, no matter how many times you are confronted by it. The word misleads has some more meaning. The word misleads means see to it that you do not go astray, get off course, deviate from the correct path. And the correct path for every Christian is God's preferred will. And you find God's preferred will in the Word of the living God. Then there's a second thing here. He's saying don't live in self-government. Don't get out of God's orbit. And that is what that verse means right there, Matthew 24:4. Let's look at the question here. Why does Jesus place such emphasis on this sign of deception? Well, Jesus warned believers that they must take heed to guard. Underline that word, guard. If you and I are to guard something, it means we are given responsibility. So what is the responsibility? What are we to guard? Please listen. The responsibility to saturate yourself with the Word of God. If I'm going to guard against deception, then I need to saturate myself with the Word of the living God. Because the Word of God, you know, is absolute truth. It is also absolute reality. So I should be so saturated with Scripture, the Word of God, that I automatically, immediately take what is taking place in the material world and connect it to what is taking place in the Word of God and the spiritual world. So what is he saying here? If you're going to guard against deception, then you have responsibility. Responsibility to do what? Saturate yourself with the Word of the living God. Because the Holy Spirit works with the Word of God. All right, let's go back to the printout. Now the words "take heed" or "take hold" were intended to jar and jolt listeners. You know, some people come to church and say, "Don't jar me. Don't jolt me. Don't take me out of my comfort zone, because I've been listening to Joel Osteen. And you know what? I just want everything to come my way easily." Sorry. I hope the Word of the living God will jolt you and jar you till you cannot stand it. Let's look back. Why? Because God wants to get your attention. You've got to understand this. You've got to believe this. You've got to get saturated with it, because these Pollyanna sermons are not going to cut it. You're going to have to understand the reality of Matthew chapter 24. Things are going to get worse. Jesus said they're not going to get better. That's why, again, this church is army green. When the going gets tough, the tough get going. And that is a reference to Christian people in the body of Christ. If you're going to be tough, if you're going to have perseverance, if you're going to push through, if you're going to stand, you're going to have to get in the Word of God and start living by the Word of God, by the power of the Holy Spirit that God gave you at the moment of your salvation. So the words "take hold" were intended to jar and jolt listeners to get their attention. There is no doubt that the disciples perked up to really listen to what he, Jesus Christ, was telling them. Jesus warned them, as the present age, the church age, comes to a close, and you're in the church age. Remember, it will close at the rapture. And end times deception would attempt to infiltrate, to penetrate, or invade every part of society across the world. Are we not actually seeing a lot of this take place already? The answer is yes. Look at the word "deceive." Number one, this word means to wander off course. Now, Jesus is speaking to the disciples. He's speaking to believers. He's still speaking to the believers today. And you know what he's telling you and he's telling me? We can get off course. We can step across the line and get too much in this world. A Christian can wander just like anybody else. When you turn from the Word of God and you turn from prayer and you stop saying, "Great is my God," and start saying, "Great I am," then you're going to begin to wonder. You'll step across that line. Let's look at it. This word suggests a moral wandering on a worldwide scale at the close of this period. I want you to take your Bible, if you will, and turn to Romans. Romans chapter 1. Somebody asked me one time, will we have an excuse as unbelievers? And an unbeliever was asking me this. Will we have an excuse as we stand before God? I said no. And I'll read it to you right here. Romans chapter 1, verse 18. Now for you visitors, I'm reading out of the Amplified Study Bible. The Amplified Study Bible. It was brothers to King James. You'll like it. Romans 1, chapter 18. For God does not overlook sin, and the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who in their wickedness suppress. Suppress should be in your Bible. That's a very important word. What does it mean? You knew the truth, but you intentionally suppressed it. You said no to it. I will not acknowledge God. So when the unbeliever stands at the great white throne judgment, which is for unbelievers only, there will not be one excuse. Jesus will say, you knew the truth, but you suppressed it. You held it down. You disregarded it. Intentionally, you said no to it. Not you, God, but me. Let's read it. Because that which is known, verse 19, about God is evident where? Within them. In their inner consciousness. For God made it evident to them. You knew me because I put it in you. So don't give me the excuse you didn't know anything about me. I put it in you to know about me, but you put your hand on it and said no. You suppressed it. Your call. It was your choice. Your volition. For ever since the creation, verse 20, of the world, His invisible attributes, His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through His workmanship, all His creation, the wonderful things that He has made, so that they who fail to believe and trust in Him are without excuse and without defense. Verse 21, for even though they knew God as the Creator, and they did not honor Him as God or give thanks for His wondrous creation, on the contrary, they became worthless in their thinking, godless with pointless reasonings and silly speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Would you like to send that to Washington? Claiming to be wise, they became fools. The word fools in the Greek means morons. We have a bunch of morons running loose in Washington. Verse 23, and exchanged the glory you exchanged. You had to know what you were exchanging. And exchanged the glory and the majesty and excellence of the immortal God for an image, worthless idols, in the shape of mortal man and birds and four-footed animals and reptiles. You knew exactly what you were doing. No excuse. Back to the printout. Number two under deceive. There will be a mass. Underline the word mass. I want to make sure you're getting this. There will be a mass divergence, a mass separation, a mass parting from time-tested biblical standards. You're already seeing it. Jesus is saying here in Matthew 24:4 that a moment was coming when society would move away from the long-affirmed laws of Scripture. The mass divergence, separation, or parting from truth and moral wandering would be the first, foremost, and primary sign to alert us that the end was near. Pay attention to what's happening. That's why when somebody says, Terry, you're wasting your time to study Revelation, you're wasting your breath telling me that. Jesus is letting us know that those who live at the very end of the age will see moral confusion in society as deception, attempts to engulf humanity with misinformation about what is morally right and wrong. Again, Washington is full of misinformation. And so are the denominations that do not accept Christ as Savior. Page 2. Top of the page. Fact. Number 1. Moral confusion is raging among the civilized nations of the world as never before in our lifetimes. Number 2. Gender identity. Now the doctor helps decide and sometimes make the decision. If you were born a boy, he says, I think I'm going to make you a girl. If you were born a girl, I'm going to make you a boy. In other words, the doctor decides this. He's getting more power to do this. And you have some parents that just go right along with it. You know, I've never known God to make a mistake. You look down at your own plumbing and you can tell what you are. If you can't, we got a problem. Gender identity. Transgender. It's here. Which bathroom do you go in now? You want to stand or you want to sit down? It's gotten pathetic. Back in the day, that would have been given no second thought. But today, it seems to take priority. Correct? I cut it off there because if I went on. Gender identity. A manifestation of confusion so severe that it stuns most thinking minds. The culture most of us knew as we were growing up was established on what? Judeo-Christian values that came out of the Bible. But now as the winds of change are blowing, we are watching as the world is rapidly departing. And what did Jesus say would be a great sign that the rapture is near? It would be the rapidity of things taking place. Coronavirus. Is that the second Tower of Babel? Do you remember what God did with the first one? Took it down. Confused the people with different languages. But we got back up on our feet. We learned once again how to say how great I am. Isn't it amazing? Coronavirus comes. And now we're scrambling, hoping we don't get it, hoping we don't die. Is coronavirus the second Tower of Babel? Because man was becoming a little bit too self-sufficient? God was put somewhere down the road instead of priority number one? And then we have the murder hornets. And guess where they're coming from? Asia. 2 inches long. About that big around. Looked like a good morning link sausage. First time I saw that on TV, it reminded me of the demon locust in Revelation. The murder hornets that are coming over here, and they're already over here in number, but more are coming in greater numbers. And they're already trying to figure out how to stop them before a great mass of them gets over here. Around 50 people a year are killed by these murder hornets. The stinger's about like that. Jesus said, when the rapture is near, things will begin to happen in rapidity. You'll say, is there an end of things that are taking place? No. Jesus says, when that begins to happen, look up. I might come in your lifetime. The spirit of this world, under number 2, is working furiously to eliminate all remnants of a godly foundation from society. OAC. It's sad when a bartender can get elected to run the country. She's trying, isn't she? To disrupt everything that is good and godly. And to replace it with a last day's deception that will ultimately usher in a time when the Antichrist rules. Revelation, turn to that, please. Revelation 6:2. Revelation 6:2. Now let's begin reading with Revelation chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. You know what it says in your translation if you have the Amplified Study Bible. The first seal, the conqueror. Then I saw as the Lamb, Christ, really, broke one of the seven seals of the scroll, initiating the judgments. Only Christ. And I heard one of the four living creatures call out as with a voice of thunder, said, come. Verse 2. I looked, and behold, a white horse of victory, whose rider carried a bow and a crown of victory, was given to him, and he rode forth conquering and to conquer. That is not Jesus Christ. Well, why, Terry? He's riding a white horse. He's going forth to conquer and to conquer. But there's something he has. A bow. Then, go to Revelation, if you wish, chapter 19, verse 11. There's another white horse, isn't there? But does Jesus have a bow? What does he have? He's got a sword. And what is the sword? It's the Word of the living God. Are we getting this now? You must be saturated with the Word of God because that's how Jesus works and that's what He works with. There's power in the Word of God. Let's go back to the printout. Here's a few notes. Number one, the Antichrist begins his career as a peacemaker, signing a covenant with Israel. The Antichrist begins his career as a peacemaker, signing a covenant with Israel. Number two, he will seem to solve the world problems. He will seem to solve the world problems. Number three, he will be received as the great liberator. He'll be received as the great liberator, the Messiah. Look at the question. Are you spiritually sensitive to what is happening in the world today? Today there is an onslaught of deception attacking our culture from every direction. There is a new tendency to rationalize away truth and replace it with politically progressive thinking. That is the most damnable thinking you're going to get. I don't care about politics in this church. There's only one I care about, and that's Jesus Christ and His Word. Amen. So there is a new tendency to rationalize away truth and replace it with politically progressive thinking. And unfortunately, like a sickness invades and sickens the human body, this end times deception is seeping into every part of society. This new mindset can be found in our schools, our government, on television, and in virtually all forms of art and media. We are living in the day the prophet Isaiah warned about when he said, woe, underline the word woe. It is woe to those who are under the threat of God's judgment. Woe to those who are under the threat of God's judgment. We'll read on. Woe to those who call evil good. Underline those who call evil good. There will be those led astray by the perverted values of others in the last days. There will be those led astray by the perverted values of others in the last day, and good, evil, who substitute darkness for light and light for darkness. Here's a few notes. Number one, moral corruption will reverse good and evil. Moral corruption will reverse good and evil. Number two, there will be a reversal of morality. There will be a reversal of morality. You know what? We're up to our neck in all this stuff already. Number three, there will be unjust sentences passed by bribed judges. Biased judges. You want a name? Sullivan. Flynn, he should walk free. But the judge says, oh, no, no, no. In other words, I know you've been proven innocent. I know the deep state took your money and put a gun to your head, causing you to do and say what you did. But you weren't guilty of anything. And we've proven that. But me, being an Obama leftover, I hate Trump. I thought justices were to be unbiased. Can I say something? There ain't a man and woman living that is unbiased. So don't feed me this stuff that these supreme justices are to be voted and placed where they are until death do them part, nearly. So they will be what? Unbiased? Sorry. That does not exist. Lastly, moral standards will be destroyed by new definitions of sin in the end times. Question, is this happening in our lifetime? Yes. As Isaiah forewarned, what was once viewed as morally wrong has become acceptable and even celebrated. At the same time, what was once upheld as the moral standard has become ridiculed as symbols of injustice and intolerance. I got news for you, brother. Jesus Christ doesn't tolerate anything outside himself. Amen. Nothing outside the Word of the living God. And the church of the living God better have the same standard. Amen. We do not deviate. Remember, all is not lost. Last paragraph. The prophet Joel prophesies that in the last days the Lord would visit people of all ages in a mighty outpouring of the Holy Spirit. I wonder what Baptists are going to do when that happens. Woo! What's going on? It's going to be awesome for you that are living in the Spirit. Then there's going to be some that are church members and say they're saved and going to run out of here. Well, that church down there at Hainesville Baptist Church, they's finally flipped and gone Pentecostal. The squirrel got loose in the congregation. Well, let me tell you something. When this happens, you better be saturated with the Word of God and used to the Holy Spirit working in you and through you, or it will scare you to death. Since we are living in this time frame that is called the last days, we qualify for His great spiritual outpouring upon the church. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank You for this day. We thank You for the Word of the living God that is our absolute truth and absolute reality. Continue to equip us as you have. Continue to mature us that we will be able to handle the equipping better and better as your children. This church is your salt. It is your light. You do what you want to do with us. We will stand for you. We will stand for you. Give us what is needed for that to be done in everything that is coming. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand.